Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views. Thanks for joining us. The Senate passed its budget this week, slashing teaching jobs and firing several thousand teacher assistants while reserving $770 million for a tax reform package that raises taxes on low-income families to give the wealthy a tax break. The budget also includes dozens of policy changes, like moving the State Bureau of Investigation from the Attorney General's office to the Department of Public Safety. Here to talk about the budget and recent legislation allowing guns in bars and restaurants is Representative Darren Jackson from Wake County. Well, Representative Jackson, thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate your time.
Glad to be here.
Now, I know you're in the House and you probably don't know all the details, but from what you've heard and read, I guess we should ask you about the approach the Senate is taking in the budget, and it's sort of similar to the governor's. I wonder sort of where you think we are in the budget process.
I imagine there's going to be a huge difference between the House and the Senate approach. I was down at the building yesterday at 12, and they had not delivered our version of the budget yet from the Senate. So I have just looked at the subcommittee I'm on, Justice and Public Safety. But just looking through that, I could tell there were large differences actually between the Senate and the governor's budget and from the priorities that we had talked about on the House side. So I expect there'll be a lot of changes.
What are your priorities? What do you think we should be doing?
In justice and public safety, we have continued to cut the court system the last several years and continued to raise court costs. I can remember when I started practicing law, court costs, I believe, were $86, and now they're $188. We're continuing to price people out of the court system and make it harder and harder for people to have grievances heard on the civil side. Last time on the budget, I ran several amendments. Things such as giving the Attorney General's or the Department of Justice more agents for meth abuse and for child internet child predators. It was like 5-6 positions apiece. They were actually in the governor's budget. Those suggestions were picked up and put in the governor's budget, which I took as a really good sign. Drug court, something that I've been that has worked well in Wake County and Wake County is struggling to hold on to. I saw all that in the governor's budget, and I was very happy with basically the governor's budget in justice and public safety. And the Senate just kind of threw that all out the window.
What do you make of this move that the governor apparently didn't ask for to take the SBI out of the Attorney General's office?
I don't know where that comes from. You hear grumblings around the building. You hear things like that are coming. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It seems like it's working well. They've been involved in a lot of investigation through the years where you would hope they would be above partisan politics. And so it seems like it's in a good place. It needs to be independent. I don't think moving it into the Department of Public Safety would be a good move at this time. The Department of Public Safety is already struggling with the merger and getting everything and getting up and running the new administration. I don't think adding this one more piece to it would do anybody any good.
I want to ask you about some other issues that have bubbled up this year. One of them affects you obviously, representing part of Wake County, have a lot of state employees in your district. There's a lot of discussion about giving the governor more power over state employees, a changed State Personnel Act. Where are we in terms of how we treat our state employees, do you think?
We started out in the last session, we moved the number of exempt positions from 400 to 1,000. The Republicans did that, I guess, on the expectation that the governor was going to be elected and that it would have a Republican governor. And then just last week, we heard a new bill that really overhauls the State Personnel Act and increases the number of exempt positions to 1,500 and takes away a lot of valuable appeal rights. They're going to have a program, I think it's called the RTR program, where they're going to ask people basically voluntary retirement during the reorganization. If they do not agree to that or select that, then they can be RIFed. And under this new bill, their appeal rights through the Office of Administrative Hearings will be taken away, and they will not be able to aggrieve that firing. So it's a wholesale change. It's a wholesale change. So the issue of making things more partisan seems to be seeping through to every level of government.
Does that concern you?
Oh, it absolutely concerns me. You know, I'm the one that stands up on the floor and complains when we make local boards of education partisan. It just seems like there are some things that should be above partisan politics. And you'd like to think that state government hiring and firing is one of those things that people are hired and fired or promoted or demoted based on their performance and how well they're doing and not based on who they know or what their party affiliation is. And it's the same way in local politics. You know, I'd like to think that the school board could be nonpartisan. I like the fact that judges are elected nonpartisan. I don't think whether somebody has an R or D by their name necessarily tells you very much at all about them and their judicial temperament. And I'm afraid that if we go to be everything being so partisan, we're going to end up with people onto the extreme position on either party.
One of the issues that you were very outspoken, it came through a Judiciary Committee you were on and then on the House floor, is the legislation that would allow people to carry concealed weapons in a lot of other places, including bars and restaurants. It would prohibit the city of Raleigh from banning them on city greenways. Why were you so opposed to that legislation?
We've had several gun bills this time that have tried to be pushed through very quickly without a lot of debate. And that's disappointing. It was disappointing to me in a lot of respects. One is somebody who really respects the institution. It seems like we are an opposite of Washington, D.C. In D.C., the House runs through the bills and the Senate has the debate. And here in North Carolina, it seems like the Senate seems to run through the bills. And we actually have had a history of having some debate on the House floor and in committee. And that's just not been allowed to happen on the gun bills, which is very disappointing. Some of the measures were big policy differences between the Republicans and the Democrats on guns and concealed weapons. Some were very minor things about, you know, we're changing the law right now. Concealed weapons are not allowed in establishments that sell alcohol. That's what everybody knows. If we're going to change the law and make it where they are allowed unless the owner posts otherwise, I thought it was pretty reasonable just to ask a restaurant to put up a sign either way. When we changed the law on cigarette smoking in restaurants, we required them all to put up signs just so that families can choose whether or not they want to be in a restaurant that firearms may be allowed in. You know, asking servers to ask people if they're concealed carrying before they serve them alcohol, I think protects them. It protects the bar or the restaurant from liability. The main thing is I was just very disappointed that we didn't get to debate the issue on the floor. It seems like it's a drastic change. There is one particular element of, it's not, I know people will say the NRA, it's not actually the NRA. It's a group called Grassroots North Carolina who bills themselves as the No Compromise Gun Rights Group. And I think that's a slap at the NRA, trying to say that the NRA compromises. And they gin up a lot of emails and a lot of support that makes it sound like people really feel this way. But I think if we would sit down and talk about it, we'd find out that it's just a small segment. And that most people in my district don't realize that we're going to have a situation where people are going to be carrying loaded firearms into the Applebee's.
I want to get back to education before I let you go. I know you're busy. North Carolina, I think, now ranks 48th in teacher pay. You have to work 15 years in North Carolina as a teacher to make $40,000 a year. So that's one question. And then the other issue that's bubbling up in the House is vouchers to divert money from public schools to private and religious schools. And I wondered where your thoughts are about teacher pay and vouchers.
Well, we are behind on teacher pay. This is the area where I try not to make too much of a difference between teachers and normal state employees. I mean, we've fallen behind on everybody in the last five or six years. It shows up in the teacher pay more so than others because some states have continued to make teacher pay a priority even during the downtimes where we haven't. We've just frozen pay. My daughter is a senior at state, and she'll be doing her student teaching in the fall. And she asked me, why are we doing all these things, Dad? There's no good response to that. You tell people all the time that you want your best and your brightest to go into teaching, but you continue to make it a field where people aren't going to want to go in, by whether it's taking away the career status, putting politics into the school system, cutting their pay, the national board certification, cutting the benefits that are provided by getting that. I mean, you want nationally board certified educators, and then you want to take away the benefit that you were giving them for accomplishing that. So we're going the wrong direction. On vouchers, you know, I'm against them. Every email I get or every call I get from someone in the field of education, superintendents, school board members across the state, they all are the same. They're all opposed to this.
You mentioned that it's a new direction for North Carolina. There's a lot of partisanship. Do you think that average folks know yet what's actually happening in the General Assembly?
Well, probably not. Probably not. I think people just tend to say, you know, there's a lot of partisanship in D.C. and Raleigh's no different, and they just kind of equate the two the same. What I've personally found is that I think we can tie a lot of this back to redistricting. And because of the redistricting, and not just this past time, but 10 years ago, computers have made it so that the party in charge is able to draw districts that are so partisan in nature. They're able to segregate all the Republicans and all the Democrats that most people who serve in the General Assembly are not worried about losing their next election to somebody of the other party. They're more concerned about losing to a primary. And so that pushes you out more to the extreme. And so you're finding that the people who are there in Raleigh representing Republicans are more to the right of, I think, even their party is statewide. And so you see a big difference in people who maybe have their eye on running statewide at some point and have to keep a more moderate middle-of-the-road position, and those who are only worried about their district who just tend to keep pushing to go to the right. The general person in North Carolina, they see on the news, they see these crazy bills, but they're just, oh, well, that's just one or two people. They don't realize that it's the whole direction. Maybe we're not gone all the way to that point in one bill, but the series of bills and the series of laws that we're passing are steadily moving us in that direction.
Well, thanks for what you're doing in Raleigh. We really appreciate you being there, and thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Up next, a former congressman sounds the alarm about education cuts. Stay with us.